Praise Lord. Praise the Lord. Worship. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So this morning, we have our Reverend Bernard Howell and Sister Hazel Howell in our midst this morning. And I was given this write-up, biodata. So I'll read this morning about them. Bernard and Hazel will be called wartime babies. Both born in the earlier 1940s, Hazel in the Republic of Ireland and Bernard in London, England. Each in their different places were familiar with church attendance. And in due time, when 10 or 12 years, heard the voice of the Lord God calling them to believe and know Him. So began a living experience of the Lord Jesus, of His love, and in time, His call. Some service in the churches, training in careers, and the exciting times of spiritual renewal the Lord sent in the 1960s when the little house churches were born, mainly involving young people. They met during brief seminary training in Glasgow, Scotland. Married in 1970, they were immediately plunged into refreshing times when new small churches were coming into being from the hand of the Lord. First in England, in various places overseas too. Also, two children were born, a boy and a girl, grandchildren in due time, and now even a great-grandchild. There were a period of many years living in Australia and Canada, then back to the UK, where they now reside in the city of Exeter. All the while, seeking to share the Lord's heart as He opens the doors. Many countries, many places, from the Pacific to Africa, from North Islands to the various countries of Europe, the Lord, the great door opener. They have always sought to establish ongoing friendship where they have gone, repeat visits so often rather than occasional preaching engagement. Relationships have stood the test of time. God, who joins also together in His love. Still, Bernard and Hazel continue to travel. And how to sum up the purpose and the ministry? It is written of Jesus that He came from the heart of His Father and made Him known. Surely this is the essence of true Christian ministry. This expresses the burden of Bernard and Hazel's heart. Through all kinds of twists and turns, difficulties, sorrows, and seasons of great joy, their great longing in that is that they might come from the Lord's heart to share of the unfathomable riches of Christ and make known the mystery, as the apostle put it. So let us all welcome Reverend Bernard Howell and Sister Hazel. If you could kindly stand, Sister Hazel, first of all, to acknowledge you. Praise the Lord. And I'd like to invite Reverend Bernard Howell to give the word this morning.
Thank you, brother. The Lord bless you. Thank you. Amen. We are glad to be back here. And I think it's 4 years ago that I was here last. Maybe it was in the month of January or February. Of course, before what happened that's called COVID. My wife calls what happened in 2020 the pestilence. Do you know what a pestilence is? And that's what she calls it. So I first came to Malaysia in 1979. That's a long while ago. And it's a blessing to be here and to share the Lord's word. And as you can hear, some news of us, where we have been, many countries, many places, and the Lord continues to give us much health, so we're able to carry on and share the Lord's heart. You do know that the Lord wants you to know Him. Not be religious. I wonder if you know the difference between being religious and really knowing God. Do you know the difference? You know that the Lord Jesus came, and I'm going to take you into a section of Scripture and one verse in particular. It's in the Gospel of Matthew. So if you've got a Bible with you, and I encourage you very much to become a person of the Scripture. A few weeks ago, I was on a Zoom personal meeting with a young man. He's not so young now, but he wanted to chat, and we chatted for about an hour, talking together on the video link. Young man. When I first knew him, he was about 25. Now he's about 45. And, you know, he was part of a church we were in at the time, maybe almost 20 years ago, home church where we were. And the Lord gave me a vision in that particular Sunday morning meeting. And I shared this vision. And it was of a young man sitting cross-legged on the floor. And he had a Bible open. And there was a shaft of light coming down. And he was there sitting in the light. And enjoying the Scripture. Enjoying reading. Everything else was dark. Just this shaft of light coming down. And there he sat. With his Scripture open. At rest. Enjoying reading the Scripture. And then something happened to him. I saw him stand up. And as he stood in the light, with his Bible open, it began to drip blood. The Bible began to drip blood. And he began to speak. And he began to speak from the Scripture. And the shaft of light broadened. And into the light, people came and began to listen. And after that meeting, that Sunday morning meeting, I said to everybody, there is a young man here to whom God is speaking. You have been enjoying God privately, personally. You have been in solitude, sitting, loving the Bible. God wants you to stand up and be a man and realize that the Bible is no ordinary book. It is a book of power. It is a book of cleansing. It is a book about a person. God. It is God's book. It is a book that is a revelation, not of the filthiness of men's hearts. It's not the biography of filthy politicians and filthy world leaders and filthy people. It is the biography of God. And it is about the blood of His Son. And it is about the power of transformation of people's lives. It is not about religion. It is not about going to church. It is all about God. And that young man left his job and he went to a Bible college. And he's been serving the Lord ever since. He has been through difficulties. He and his wife were childless for a long, long while. He joined a church. He became a pioneer in a particular church. They formed a congregation, and the congregation went wrong. And he came into differences with his co-leader. And the co-leader was a stubborn and dominant preaching man who would not listen to the tender heart of God. And that young man spent 4 or 5 years with a broken heart along with his wife. And he had nothing to do with me. He wouldn't talk to me. He wouldn't communicate. He wouldn't open his heart. He went through sorrows that were very deep. And then just in the last 6 or 8 months, he's begun to open up again to God and fellowship with God. I tell you that story so that you know that when I open this little New Testament, this is the biography, the autobiography of God and His Son. It is not like the Quran. It is not like the writings of other religious leaders. It is God revealing Himself. Now you do understand that this God speaks. I serve the living God. A living God speaks. And He wants to speak to you this morning. And I will tell you where the churches are going wrong all the time. You will go wrong all the time because you forget 3 simple little words that are verbs. Does everybody here know what a verb is? Grammatically, verb means a doing word. A noun is stating an object. An adjective qualifies a noun. A verb is a doing word. Now, I will show you the 3 words that the church is always forgetting. You will have forgot it, these 3 words. You'll find these 3 words in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. And I'm glad to see some of you with your Bibles. You are wise to read your Bible as a book, separate from your gadget. Your gadget, on which you do other things, dulls your spiritual sensitivities. That is a psychologically proven fact. Read deeply. You can never read deeply on a gadget. only superficial. That's the only way. Look at some of the psychiatrists and psychologists and what they're trying to tell you. And don't say this silly old preacher is talking out of the back of his head. I thank the Lord for gadgets. They're useful. Keep them in their places. And keep this blood-soaked book in its place. Blood-soaked. You're here because a man suffered and died on a tree. Agony such as you have no clue about. And I have no clue about. You think you've suffered. You know nothing. To what the innocent, spotless Lamb of God bore. You think people have been crude and unkind to you. You know nothing. I know nothing. Oh, the spotless Jesus, who'd only known the bosom of his Father's love, to have to suffer your arguing, your grumbling, your sinning, your vileness, my vileness. Jesus, beautiful Savior. Hallelujah. Hear your three words. They are to be found right at the end of Matthew chapter 11. They are the words of our Lord Jesus. And here the three of them are, chapter 11. You'll find them in verse 28 and verse 29. Three verbs. Number one begins with C. Come. Number two begins with T. Take. Number three begins with L. Learn. Never forget these three words. Some of you young people are in universities. In some universities in England, if you're doing a PhD, you are not allowed to use a gadget to do your studies. You are to download into hard print, hard copy, various things concerning with the discipline and the subject you're dealing with. Deep thought. Come, Jesus said. Take, learn of me. Are you doing it? Am I doing it? Is this the story of my life? And I want to say something about these three verbs. You say, I've come. It doesn't just mean once. It is come and keep coming. Take and keep accepting his yoke. That's the tense in the Greek language. And learn doesn't mean just learn. It keep learning. It's present continuous. Come, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming, keep taking, keep learning, keep coming, keep taking, keep learning. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Doors always open. Doors always open. Hallelujah. You know, when Jesus spoke such words as this, he indicates something very important here. He says that most people are not doing it. You have to be qualified in a certain way to obey this. Are you qualified? What's the qualification? Let's read the verses nice and slowly. Verse 25. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to babes. There's your first qualification. There's your first qualification. How babe-like are you? You revealed them to babes. You go on. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Here's your second qualification in verse 28. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. There's your second qualification. Weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is telling us spiritual law doesn't change for the Chinese or the Indian or for the Brit or the Australian. Doesn't change. The babe-like, you know, God wants to reveal. The Father wants to reveal. What's Jesus talking about? Did you notice that here it said, you've hidden these things. Verse 25, did you notice that? What things is Jesus talking about that the Father has hidden? Who's he hidden them from? He's hidden them from the wise and the clever. Long while ago, I was speaking in a certain place. And I remember at the end of the weekend of meetings that I went into the pastor's office, and I'd gone in there at the beginning of the weekend of meetings, and he had all of these glass pictures with his degrees, you know, all of his certificates of his skill. And I went into his office on the Monday morning, and you know, there wasn't one of them up on the wall. He'd taken them all down. Not only had he taken them down, he said, "Here they are." He'd smashed them. He realized his pride. He'd realized his arrogance. He realized that he was one of the wise and the prudent who didn't really know God, really didn't know the things that the Father wants to show you. Did you know that the Father wants to bless you? How? Can you tell me what is the Father's greatest joy? His eternal pleasure. Did you know that the Heavenly Father has such a joy? Floods his being. It's eternal. The Father's great joy is his Son. Ah, the Father loves Jesus. The Father worships Jesus. The Father adores Jesus. The Father pours his life into his Son. He so loves Jesus. Why? Because of what he sees. He can see his Son. And you know, you look here and these are among the things the Father wants to reveal. And he wants to reveal these things to babes. Jesus says in verse 27, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father." No one knows except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Aren't these words of Jesus so simple? Where the Lord comes to us, Jesus says, "Are you weary? Have you got weary enough yet for the Father and the Son to do their work in you? Have you got weary enough with Malaysian life, with the sham? It's all an illusion, my brother. Kuala Lumpur is an illusion. It's one great big lie. We have met up. We've been here just 2 or 3 days on this trip. And on Friday we met up with a young man from Kuching. He's not so young. And we know Kuching. But he is someone we'd never met before, and we met up at Sunway Pyramid, and we had 2 or 3 hours together, some food together. We had only ever met him on Zoom meetings, and he was chatting to me as we were walking around Sunway, and he was talking to me about his 2 children. One of them is finishing up his degree at Monash. The other one is a pharmacist living in Hobart. Two children. And he was talking to me about them, and he said, they know the Lord a little tiny bit. They're still in love with the world. They think they're always searching for more. They're searching for all the thrills that the world can give. You know, I tell you, did you know what's going to happen to this world? Did you know what's going to happen to the Twin Towers here? The same thing has happened to them in New York. You see, the strain and stress that we are meeting as we go around the different cities and the different countries, and we see it in the religious world of the churches, always trying to get some new thing into the church. A new song, give us a new song, that'll make us feel better. A new worship band, a new concert, and everybody's straining after it. All, let's have a new doctrine. Let's have a new emphasis. Let's have a new course. Doctor of Men. Doctor of this, doctor of that. I do want to pour water on these fires that men light, because they're going to go out anyway. But this word of Jesus abides forever and ever and ever. And he says to you, come. And keep coming. Who to? Come to the Bible? Come to church? No. Come to me. Come to me. When was the last time, and I mean this question very much, when was the last time you just came to him? Jesus. The lover of your soul. I know it's awfully simple. Too simple for most of us. Come to me. Come to me. Now all of you have seen a little child. You know, they prayed for the young ones that were here just a little earlier. Did you know Dad? Did you notice Dad with the little one? How safe she felt in the arms of Dad. Have you seen a disturbed child? Lost. Did you watched the news the other day about the little five-year-old child that had got itself lost in Florida and had gone into the swamps in Florida? Did you, not far from its home, but it was completely lost, wandering up to its knees in, and there's snakes there and there's all sorts of things. And then, of course, the parents were terrified. Where's our little daughter gone? And And then there was no satisfaction for the little lost child in the trees and the water and the plants. And then some of those brave men that go searching in these dangerous places came and they found the little one. There was a helicopter up there. You know, the way that they can pick up the heat of a little body, and they picked it up, the heat of this little wandering girl, and she's there. She's 100 yards away from you. You're quite near. You're quite near. And so the men, you know, they begin to struggle their way through, and there's the little girl. And the first thing she did was this. A person. A person. A rescuer. A stranger, mind you, but still his arms were open and he spoke tenderly, "Amen," and put the little one on, carried her to this truck and set the little one there and said, "You're safe now. Hallelujah. Come unto me," Jesus says. I don't know whether there's anyone in this room and you've gone into sin. And you've been in sin a long while. Long while. And you've been carrying on coming to church, but nothing, everything's gone over the surface. And maybe you've been one of those faithful enough not to take the communion because you knew you weren't right with God. And Jesus says, "Come unto me. Let me wash you. Let me restore you." I don't know if there's anyone here, and there's all kinds of people here. Some of us are very old in years. There may be some in the room who are older than my wife and I. You know, you may be well up in your 80s, and maybe someone in their 90s. And Jesus continues to say to you, "Come unto me." And your life's almost done. Jesus says, "Come unto me. Come, let me take you. Let me give soul rest to you. Rest to your soul." This is a famous text, isn't it? Everybody, children know this text. "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you will find rest to your souls." Do you notice in the text he talks about two rests? You check me out. Look at your text. He talks about two rests. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest." And then, that's in verse 28. Then he says in verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest." A second rest. Two rests. You know, one of the great diseases in the churches with pastors is they're not living in the second rest. They're not living in the rest for their own soul, because They're allowing the Lord to take all the responsibility, all their anxiety about their church away, all their anxiety. You know, there's an incredible amount of anxiety and tension out there. You know, to perform. Churches need to perform. Some of you younger men, you young musicians, I encourage you, don't throw your guitar away or don't throw your keyboard away. But don't live in anxiety. Come to Jesus. Take his yoke on you. Learn of him. Take my yoke. My yoke upon you and learn of me. Can I ask you, what is Jesus's yoke? Now you know that the context of all this that we're reading is that Jesus is among people. So there are Bible teachers out there in Jesus' day, and they're called Pharisees, and there are others called priests, and there are others who are called Sadducees, and they are Bible people. And some of them believe bits of the Bible, the Old Testament. Some of them believe other bits. They are men who are teaching, some of them quite sincere, and they are saying to everybody, do this, do that. The Bible says, the Old Testament says, Exodus says, the Talmud says, they're... And they are putting a yoke on people, religious yoke. Do this, do that, do the other. Everybody here knows what a yoke is, don't you? It's something where you bow down under it and you have to pull along a master, a load. And... you know, they were like this. And you've got this kind of thing today. The world has a yoke. Can you understand this? Here is a terrible yoke in the United States. That one of the world's yokes, American style. You must go to college. Young person, you must get a degree. You must graduate from high school. And you must go to the best university you can. It's a yoke. It's a bondage. American style. You must. And mum and dad have to get another mortgage in order to pay for the funds for the American yoke. Sound familiar? You may never have thought of it like a yoke. And so mum and dad sweat and toil, and both of them work their insides out to pay the money, and they get more and more tense. In order to facilitate their child to climb the ladder. It's amazing. That's an American style yoke. I don't know whether it's here. It's not Jesus's yoke. And there are others that go along. I'm thinking of my wife and I were in Ireland a few weeks ago, and I always like to go in and visit a Roman Catholic church. I like to go and sit in the quietness in the back. and just watch people come in. And we were in Poland, which is a Roman Catholic country, and I saw one or two of the faithful young people coming in with the Catholic yoke. What are they doing? And the little children are sitting quiet beside them. And then suddenly, I see where that mother is going. She's going to the confessional to see the priest. The Roman Catholic yoke. You see, there are many yokes that we live under. What kind of yoke are you young men living under? Are you coming unto Jesus day by day and letting him say to you now, this is my yoke. Take my yoke on you. You know, it's wonderfully simple. When Jesus came to this earth, tell me, what was he yoked to? Was he yoked to the religion that was being peddled by the Pharisees? No. What was his yoke then? Jesus was yoked to someone. Who was he yoked to? My sister here says, the Father. Is that what you said? And you're absolutely right, my sister. He was absolutely yoked to his Father's will. I only do what my Father shows me. I only say what my Father tells me to say. Jesus was in a love yoke with his Father. And his Father was telling him, do you remember that amazing story? Those of you who think that Jesus heals everybody. Oh no, he doesn't. Do you remember that amazing story in John's Gospel, chapter 5, where Jesus went down into a pool? Do you remember the name of the pool? Bethesda. And he went down there, Bethesda, and can you imagine this? It was crowded with sick people, and he went like this. Imagine that, avoiding people, not touching this one and that one, and he comes to one man. One man. How long have you been here? A long while. Do you want to be well? Yes. I've got no man. I've got no man to help me. When the water moves, I've got no man. No one to help me. And isn't it wonderful? Jesus says to him, take up your bed and walk. And immediately as the word came out of his mouth, down there to this man, and he heard this word, and strength came into him. Jesus had come to him, and he had met Jesus. And the man rose up and walked and began to, you know, it was a miracle, not just a healing. He hadn't moved for years. You know, suddenly the miraculous making of muscle and flesh, he would have atrophied. Am I making sense? And then Jesus explains himself later on. I only do what my Father shows me. I'm in my Father's yoke. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I think many of you will discover that if you look very carefully into your life, you've put a Malaysian Chinese yoke on you. I think that you will find, if you look carefully, that you've put on a charismatic yoke. Church yoke. Sounds funny to talk this way, doesn't it? You know, and it's not that there are aspects of this that aren't good, but you see, Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. I shall tell you what you will find. The more you come to Jesus, you'll never find him doing this. You did this. You did that. You'll never find him doing, waving his finger at you. You'll find him saying, if you have gone wrong, oh, now come. Oh, you'll never find him doing this. He'll say, oh, you know you shouldn't have done that, but come. Now take my yoke on. Get down with me. I'm yoked to my Father. Take my yoke on you. Let's you join me in the great yoke of my Father. He's the lead. Did you know that in those yokes, I can remember I spent many months of my life in India. And I can remember going out into the villages, out of the cities, and time walking along by the side of a bullock bandy, 3 miles an hour, ever so slow, and the two creatures drawing the bullock bandy. You know what I mean? They're just plodding along. Very slowly, 3 miles an hour. That's God's speed. That's God's speed. Did you know that? 3 miles an hour. The speed of a man walking. The speed of God. Just moving along. And I can remember sometimes those bullock bandies, and I would talk to the man who was sort of in control. Oh, can you see that one is the lead ox? The other one is alongside. Did you know of the two, there is a lead ox? You got that? Oh, my Father's the lead ox. Come into the yoke with me and you'll find rest, rest, rest to your soul. Who knows what this might bring? Did you know your soul affects your body? Did you know that the state of your soul, which includes your mind, affects your body? You say, what do you mean, Bernard? I mean that maybe your blood pressure will come down. Yes. And your kidneys will begin to function properly. And that as you learn of him, he will show you things about your life, how to regulate your life and bring rest to your soul. And that will affect your body. Maybe
Amen. You'll be renewed physically, like old Moses was. I don't exactly feel like Moses, you know, but myself. But, amen, you're understanding what I'm saying. I'm speaking a simple word to you that Jesus said. And you know, all the while, you're in the yoke with the Lord. Do you know what the Lord will be doing? He'll be sharing with you the things of the Father. Things of the Father. You know how that will impact your music, your preaching, your living? It will change you. I'm not going to ask your forgiveness for bringing such a simple word this morning, but this is the word I've been carrying in my heart for you this morning for a number of days. Come unto me and rest, Banner of Love. Come unto me. Keep coming. Come again. I will tell you how to come. Come in like a little child. Come simply. Come in solitude. Come, have a little chair in your house where you can just come and sit with the Lord. You won't find it easy. Did you know that a very much greater preacher than me, who died when he was 42 years old, whose name was Oswald Chambers? How many of you have heard of Oswald Chambers? Yeah, lots of you. Do you know what he said? He said, you'll come to church. You'll come to the meetings. You'll come to the Bible. You'll come to the preacher. You'll come to the counselor. But the last thing you'll do is come to Jesus. That's what Oswald Chambers had discovered. Last thing you'll do. Come to Jesus. It's too simple, you see. I'm thinking, it's vivid in my mind as I watch the screen on my phone. Yes, I use phones and iPads and computers as well. Yeah, I'm not against them. But the vivid picture of this little girl in the Florida swamp, who was terrified. You know, the trees didn't satisfy. Nothing satisfied. Out there was danger there. And I'm just vividly seeing her put her arms out when at last a man was there. A rescuer. This is Jesus, my brothers and sisters. This is Jesus. Come to him. All you that are weary, heavy laden, he says, I will give you rest. And as you take my yoke on you, take my yoke. I have things to say to you. A yoke is a restricting thing. Again, let me tell you of another vision in our very early days. When we first, before I was married, this vision came. And it was in one of our meetings. And God speaks different ways, prophecies, visions, scripture. And this vision was of these wild stallions. these wild horses on the prairies and the hillsides of the United States. And there were lots of them. And two of these horses were friends. And these wild horses that went freely everywhere. Some men came along and captured some of them. Took them and put them into a corral, you know, an enclosure, waiting, waiting, waiting. And there they were. But one of the horses said to his friend, "I'm frustrated being here. I'm frustrated with this being locked up here. Why have they got us here?" And he took one great leap and led one or two of his friends over, and they leapt free and they went running free. But before he left, he said to his friend, "Are you coming?" "No, no, I'm staying here within this corral." "Oh, we're going. Goodbye." And he stayed. And then along came some of the kings. There's a word for these men who look after and train horses. Along they came and they took these horses and took them through this training. And it took years. Training. And the horse submitted to it and became one of the king's horses. And one day he was among the team of eight that were drawing the king's carriage along in the countryside. And his friend, you know, the wild horse, came galloping by, recognized him. He was had all these beautiful plumes on and so on. And the wild horse regretted what he had done, that he hadn't taken the yoke upon him and become one of the king's horses. God wants you to become one of the king's horses. One of his servants. Remember where I began with the young man sitting solitary enjoying his Bible? And he's growing into a man of God. God has so much more for him. You don't grow into becoming a man of God and a woman of God unless you come unto him, Jesus, and take the yoke on you. Learn of him. I've been to Bible seminary. I've been through the degrees and all that sort of thing. But they never taught me this. They never taught me this. They taught me Bible stuff. They taught me doctrine. But the beauty of Jesus, the wonder of the Father, the relationship. Nobody can teach you except Jesus. And the blessed Spirit has been sent from Jesus to teach you these things. Amen, my brethren. I'll finish. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. My brother is coming. Dear Father, we love you together. Let's pray, shall we? Anyone who wants to just stand up and say, "Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come." Just stand up where you are and say, "I understand what you're saying to me, Lord. That's right. I understand what you're saying to me. You're speaking to my heart anew, Lord. I come to you. Oh Lord, lead me into your own heart. Hallelujah, that's right. Hallelujah. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Oh Father, look upon Malaysia. Look upon Malaysian churches, Lord. Look upon Banner of Love. Look upon these young men and young women who are here. May they be your men and your women who are in the yoke with you. Bring rest to their souls. Everyone who stands before you. Lord, bring rest to their bodies. I pray for health to come. I pray for a relieving of hypertension and blood pressure things. I pray, oh Lord, for kidney function to get right. Other parts of our bodies where there are all kinds of things that are out of synchronization because of our bad posture with you. Make things right, Lord. We call on your name. We love you together. Holy, holy. Holy, make Banner of Love a holy place. Come distill your presence, dear Father, week by week in this church. Lord, there are those here who are weak enough to become little children, who are not full of themselves, full of pride. There are little children here. Lord, oh Lord, little children in heart, find a resting place. There are lambs here, Lord Jesus. There are little lambs here in heart. Oh Lord, the dove came on the lamb in the water of Jordan. A dove came on the lamb. Hallelujah, Lord. We lift our hands to you. We lift our hands. You are our Father. You are the lover of our soul. You have begotten us again to a living hope through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, Jesus, lover of our souls, we fly to your bosom. We fly to your breast, dear Lord, like John the Apostle did as he lay there in the atmosphere as it was the day before you died, Lord Jesus. Laid his head on your bosom. We lay our heads on your bosom, Lord. Lover of our soul. Oh, Jesus. 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 Talk to him. Just say, Jesus. 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 I love you. I want to love you more. I love you. Amen. Amen. Sarah. tirani o te tietus. Our Lord. Jesus. I shall watch over my people in Malaysia, as I shall watch over my people throughout the world. For there are days coming, saith the Lord, days of great darkness and difficulty, days of loss, but I shall watch over my people. Blessed shall they be who know the secret place, which is the hiding place. For my people, I shall hide them, those who know my hiding place. I shall hide them, and I shall feed them in the hiding place. Blessed are those who know the secret place of the Most High, who are able to bring their children there, who have a life that demonstrates to their children who is first. For I, the Lord, must be first. And if in your life I am first, truly first, you shall live that way, and you shall be a blessing, living in the hiding place. And when dark times come, as come they will, so I shall come. I shall come, and I shall bring miracles, and I shall feed you. I shall feed you in your hearts, and I shall feed you in your bodies as well. For I shall care for my flock. I shall care in Malaysia for my flock. Thus saith the Lord.